Are you ready to take your writing to the next level? Then welcome to the Book Editor Show. Join Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley each week as they teach you all the tips, tools, and techniques you need to move your book from manuscript to market. Visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books, and extras to make your old novel better than ever. Now, please welcome Clark Chamberlain and Peter Turley.
Welcome to the Book Editor Show number 37. We're talking about critique groups and beta readers. I'm Clark Chamberlain, and they say that he once edited a literary novel in less than one day while flying a gyrocopter without even reading the book. He's my friend and co-host, Peter Turley. Peter, how are you doing today?
I'm not that technologically able, but I'm awesome. How are you, Clark?
Oh, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. The washing machine is fixed, so life is now clean again.
The gremlins from the washing machine have just come into our computers.
I think so. My wife and I were talking last night. We're like, what's the next thing to go? You know, like, yeah. Oh, because the microwave exploded on Sunday. Like, it started on fire.
Were you trying to warm up the forks again?
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just, I don't like using cold forks. Like, it just bothers me. So, I was so upset at my son because, like, what did you put in there? And he hadn't done anything. And I was like, oh, man.
Who else can I blame?
It's got to be someone here. So,
yeah, we just had about 10, 15 minutes of technical problems getting the show started. So the washing machine is fixed, but there is trouble afoot elsewhere.
That's right. So if I go down, Peter, you're just going to take over.
If you go down, I'm leaving you behind.
As I would expect. So, excuse me. Well, what else do you have going on in your life this week?
Lots and lots of writing, which is good. My project is gone, so I can leave that for now. So at the moment, it's all course, sort of like degree writing stuff and looking at things for other people, and so just getting my teeth into stuff that's like not fantasy, so that's like really good. And I always like to, if I do a writing exercise, to do something that's not in my genre, and it's so uncomfortable, I like it. so lots of that.
Well, good. That sounds like a good way to spend some time writing.
Yes, not fixing washing machines.
No, I wish I could have fixed it. I had to bring in a special. I had no idea what.
I've seen your tool belt, so you know. I know that if there was room on there for a washing machine,
that's right.
Tools,
that's right.
They would be there.
They would be there. I know how to build stuff with wood, but once it comes to mechanical things, I'm not so good at it. Excuse me. Well, I'm excited for today's show. We got a very special guest that I'm excited to introduce here. We met at the Salt Lake Comic Con this year. We had booths next to each other, and it was just a real pleasure to spend the weekend with him. His name is M. Todd Gallaglass. He is a professional storyteller, like on a stage with a show in front of real people, and the best-selling author of the Tears of Rage and Halloween Jack series. As a child, Todd wished he could be a left-handed redhead because he thought they were the most special and different people in the world. Because he was a brown-haired righty, life had forced him to create his own path to being special and different by making up stories of fantastical worlds of adventure. He even believed in these worlds so completely that several of his teachers questioned whether he knew the difference between fantasy and reality. The jury is still out. He currently lives with his wife, three children, more pets than they need, and enough imaginary friends to provide playmates for several crowded kindergarten classes. He is currently corrupting his children by raising them with a rich education of geek culture, and still, as busy as he is, he manages to squeeze in time for some old-school tabletop gaming and airsoft battles on the weekends, because it's not as messy as paintball. Please welcome Todd. Todd, how are you doing today?
I'm good. That is the first time I've ever had my bio read, like, in my presence out loud, so I'm, like, kind of chuckling at it.
It's a very fun bio. Like, I, you know, if we had the time, I would have read the entire thing.
I was entertained and also a little tired. That's a busy household.
We just added an Australian Shepherd puppy. So that's it is a cute little fuzzball, but that means that in order for it to keep my wife, who gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to her job, in order for her to get a decent night's sleep, about 11:30 midnight, I take it for a walk around the block a couple of times to make sure that it is exhausted so that it sleeps through the night. So one more bit of chaos.
Yeah, having those puppies, I mean, it really is just like having a newborn child. Like, it's just always to their beck and call. My kids the other day were talking about how they took care of the puppies. Like, I don't ever remember you up at those hours taking it out to make sure it's going to the bathroom.
The one thing I like about the puppy opposed to my daughter when she was a newborn, if I get tired of the puppy, I can just put it in the backyard and let it fend for itself. CPS didn't approve of me doing that.
It's frowned upon.
Yeah. Well, Todd, how did you get into the writing game?
The first story I vividly remember writing was in the third grade. It was a Halloween creative writing assignment where we had to go and there was a haunted house down the street, and we went to we had to go into the haunted house. And when I went into the haunted house, I found vampires, ghosts, and zombies, and so I ran back to my house and I pulled the special lever in my closet to my secret base underneath my house, and I grabbed my laser blaster and my lightsaber, and I went and saved the neighborhood. And where most of the other kids in the class wrote like two paragraphs if they were lucky, I was working on my third page by the time they said, no, just turn it in. And I was like, ooh, I can do this. I can have all these adventures. And so then I was hooked. In fourth grade, I wrote my first fan fiction, because back then the two fantasy books that were out there were The Chronicles of Narnia and The Lord of the Rings, and I felt Sam Gamgee's adventures hadn't finished. And so I wrote his continuing adventures. And then, you know, flash forward a bunch of decades, I don't want to say how many, here I am in the writing game and doing it for a living.
Well, it's very cool, and I can definitely attest to the fans you had coming by your booth through a Comic-Con. You're doing a very good job at it.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
So, well, and I really liked this idea about coming back to here and talking again about critiques and beta readers, because this is a major part of the writing process, and if you step away from it, you're just doing this on your own, you can miss a lot of really good, helpful information. On the other hand, sometimes it's too much. So you're going to help us sort this through and how you do this.
All right. For me, I have a very, like, minuscule amount of beta readers. I can count my beta readers on one hand, and I've got specific beta readers that do specific things for me. I've got one that has an anal retentive attention to detail that remembers all the minute details that I forget. And so he catches me on goofs in the canon of my various universes. I have one guy that's really technical and says, that's not physically possible even with the magic that you've set up in your worlds. One of the things that I learned in my time pursuing my bachelor's in creative writing is not all feedback is equal. And it's the writers, the biggest challenge for writers when they're getting feedback from people is sifting through the helpful feedback from the non-helpful feedback, the stuff that's going to help you realize your vision of your manuscript, as opposed to those people who are trying to fix what they think is wrong with your manuscript. And the trouble with the people that are trying to fix what's wrong with your manuscript is those are the ones that in some ways will sound the most reasonable and the most like they know what they're talking about, but they're not actually helping the writer achieve their vision, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. No, it does. And along with that, you know, like, so How long did it take you to find the people that you have, you know, that you're really trusting right now for your beta reading?
A while. Since I started professionally writing, I have cultivated my small handful of beta readers over the last. Some of them were friends that I knew before I had ever decided to push publish for my first self-published work. Others I've met along the way, but it's before anybody reads anything of mine that I'm actually intending to publish, I have this one little thing that I wrote that will never see the light of day because it's got a bunch of problems. And what I do is anybody that I'm thinking about having be a beta reader say, here, take a look at this. What do you think? And so then based on what they think are the problems with that manuscript, either, oh, this is really good. Okay, then there are some very fundamental problems with the story and the characterizations and everything like that. That if they say that, I say, okay, you're really just looking here to read my stuff before everybody else, which is what some beta readers are. That's all they're interested in. Or that it's like, oh, these are the things I want to fix so that your manuscript will be publishable. The way that I know somebody may be ready to be a beta reader for me, and what I need out of my beta readers is that instead of telling me what to do, they'll ask questions. We'll have a conversation about the various parts of it, and one of the questions that will really get me to go, okay, maybe you're ready, is, are you really thinking about publishing this? Because sometimes, I mean, even at this point, over the summer I was working on something and I was fiddling with it, and about a 10,000 words in, I'm like, yeah, this is never going to go anywhere. And I sent it to two of my people, and they said, yeah, you might want to go back to working on Deadweight. So, you know, that's the other thing, is the honest beta readers being honest about, yeah, you've written some good stuff, but this is not, you don't want to put your name on this and put this out in the public.
Mm-hmm. No, I like that idea about having something that you can immediately send to everyone that you know has got problems and that they can go through it. That's a really clever idea to see where they're at.
Yeah, I think also the sort of being able to, even after, like you said, 10,000 words, being able to say, you know, they call it like the fallacy of sunk value, where, you know, you think time invested, you know, makes it valuable in and of itself. So to be able to have someone whose opinion you can trust so much that at 10,000 words, they'll be like, maybe you should make a U-turn on this whole thing. And you say, okay, that's just so, you know, priceless.
Well, and that's the one of the biggest things that I look for with the people that beta read for me is the honesty. Is that even when we disagree, that they're honestly looking to help me achieve my goals as a writer, as opposed to, I was in a writer's group for a really long time. There was one guy who was loud and bombastic and always right, and he chased a bunch of people that were creative and talented out of the group just because he was like, no, this is wrong. No, this is wrong. No, this is wrong. And some of the ideas were like, no, these are really cool, neat ideas, and they just don't fit into your paradigm of what works in fiction. And so it really hurt the group a lot. And so, you know, being able to trust people to give you their honest their honest feedback from their experience of your work, but still, even if it's not necessarily what you want to hear, but still know that they're trying to help you, as opposed to, you know, this is just my opinion of what should be done in fiction. Because really, you can do anything you want, you just have to earn it. And that's the the big thing with my beta readers is they will, everybody that I bring into my fold of my crew will go, okay, there's this thing, this isn't working. If this is really the thing you want to do, let's talk about how we can get this to work within the framework of the story you're trying to tell.
Yeah, right. Like writers groups can be a very vulnerable space, can't they? You know, and you know, everyone's kind of bringing themselves to it, and I think, yeah, sort of having characters like that can be really harmful to the productivity of something like that.
Yeah. Oh, I will probably never join another writer's group for the rest of my life. Unless, you know, it happened to be, hey, let's have Robin Hobb, George R. R. Martin, Steven Erickson, you know, hang out and talk with me about writing. I'd join that group. But, just a bunch of my town or anything. I'm kind of really gun shy about those, and I think one of the most valuable things of getting my creative writing degree was that I can tell now the difference between somebody who's just being bombastic and fixing my manuscript as opposed to somebody that's trying to really help me achieve my vision.
Yeah, because vision is a very important part with it, you know, like being able to understand what it is that that you're after. When I send out stuff for beta readers, you know, I put this clear message in the end of every chapter. It's like, I don't, you know, what am I looking for? You know, what did you feel with this? Like, where was the confusion? You know, because those are the things I'm trying to figure out with this, not someone that's going through and, like you say, trying to fix my problem there.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. I'm still coming over this cough for like the last 3 weeks. I don't get it. But
was it like ridiculous. 3 weeks ago Comic-Con?
Yeah. Ah. So it's still there. Like it's just been bad. Anyway. Definitely then let's say that someone's just, you know, they're just starting out. I mean, there's a lot of people right now that are still just jumping into this whole idea about writing because it's much easier to get published now. Right. What would you say to them, you know, like, let's talk about, because this may sound like we're saying that you don't want to be a part of a writer's group at all. How can they choose whether that's going to be a good choice for them or whether they should just try to cultivate a small group of beta readers?
I think at the beginning of a writer's career, before they've published anything, going into one of those, going into a writer's group is a good thing. It was a great thing for me. I treasure the time that I was part of that group and a couple of the other groups that I was like, this isn't for me. But I was part of that group for about 10 years. And they really helped shape me as a young writer. I published after I was part of that group. But it's good to be involved in a community of people that says, yes, it's okay to write. As a matter of fact, you need to write every 2 weeks or every week and submit to the group. That is imperative. I would never say to somebody, if you have the opportunity to join a writer's group, don't ever go to one. You should go to one and see if it fits for you. You'll find out real fast if the personalities click. One of my beta readers that I have now was a member of that group. She bailed actually out of that group a little bit after I did, but we met there. She's one of my best friends in the world, and she is the very first one about that story that I sent out saying, "Hey, check this out," and she was like, "Really?" And so that's how. And she was scathing about it. She was like, "This is so beneath you. You are such a better writer than this. I don't know what you were thinking about when you did this." I was like, oh. And then after she said that, I was able to step back and look at it. But you'll cultivate writer friends like that. One of the members of the group is a big name writer who gave me a couple of blurbs for my first couple of books. The contacts that you may or may not get in those early writers groups are great. Go do that. Some people find magical writers groups where everybody lifts each other's up and treasure those. Find a couple of your friends that will be honest with you and not just shine you on and say, oh, you're the greatest thing ever. And talk to them about what kind of feedback you're looking for. That's the biggest thing, I think, is it, with beginning writers, when you give your work to somebody, be very, very upfront and honest about what kind of feedback you're looking for. Like with me, I don't, in general, before I give my work to my beta readers, I don't edit at all. Because I tend to hurt as much as I fix, and in some cases I will edit out the tension and the immediacy of the writing. And so one of the things that I require of my beta readers is tell me what not to change. Because that's a problem for me. And so they'll give me, don't change this thing, or don't change this thing, and keep this because this is really wrenching my guts. The other thing that my beta readers are not allowed to do is they are not allowed to talk to me about other writers when talking about my work. If I need to fix something in my work, pick something else from that piece that's working. Say, hey, this thing that you did over here, do it to this over here, and it will shine. As opposed to, well, Hemingway did this thing because I'm not Hemingway. Or, you know, Robert Jordan did this thing. I'm so not trying to be Robert Jordan. The thing that they are allowed to do is saying, hey, you're trying too hard to be Steven Erikson here or Harlan Ellison here. You should be Todd Gallowglass here.
Yeah, I can definitely see that, you know, because you can have that tendency to move outside of the voice that you're trying to get to, especially if you're running around chasing down trying to be this author or that author.
Yeah,
for sure.
And the other thing is as far as being other authors, is that's going to happen a lot when you're first starting out, because you're going to emulate the authors, the writers that you like, and eventually all those will conglomerate into this wonderful stew that eventually becomes the writer that you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. I know that I end up laughing at myself because I'll go back and start editing, and it's like, oh, you know what? I was reading this book at the time, and I see a lot of this kind of sentence structure and things that I'm pulling through from some other writer because I'm just reading it at the time. So yeah, I definitely do that, and then move back to being me. Peter, you're in a class again. I thought this was interesting because you know that you're doing a project right now where you're writing with different authors, correct?
Yes, it's also a creative writing bachelor's with literature as well, and being around other writers is you know it's great and it does have its pros as you say, but it also comes with its challenges and specifically, writing with other people is hard. It's so much harder than I anticipated. You know, how are we going to tackle it? Where are the ideas going to come from? How are we going to approach the piece? Are we going to work on separate bits? Are we going to, you know, scrutinize over every sentence together? And that is a massive challenge. But I'm definitely getting a benefit from being in a group and bringing work in every day and showing it to people and getting people's opinion. But as you say, you know, you do quickly learn who to take it to, you know, whose opinion you trust, and what to take away from it, what to take with a pinch of salt, and you know when you. And you learn that yourself, don't you? It's hard to sort of give advice because that's going to be unique to the people you're showing it to and the people that you're around. But yeah, if anyone listening has co-authored anything with anyone, we'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your approach to it, how you make it work, because that's just fascinating to me. Have you ever written with anyone, Todd?
Yes, I have. Unlikely to ever do it again. The very first self-published work I ever did, I collaborated with a buddy, and those have been now taken down because they are no longer available because of stuff.
Yeah.
I can see that there could be a lot of problems creative, and then a lot of problems business wise with working with. So.
Yeah, we did two things together, and then we were working on the third one, and I was like this, and he was like no, and I was like, but our fans want this. They're asking for this. They're begging for this. No, I'm done. I was just like, but.
Yeah, okay. That's a disappointment. That's a disappointment for sure.
Yeah, and so then a mutual friend of both of ours has been friends with us for years. Just said, "Yeah, let it go, go and do your own thing." And I was like, "Okay."
Well, but the experiences are sometimes worthwhile. But yeah, it's definitely. I think it's good to know, isn't it? You know, when to walk away from something, whether it's a book, a writer's group, a partnership.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you take into account Kevin J. Anderson and Brian Herbert, their collaboration, you know, did pretty okay.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, I think that definitely is the whole point of this, you know, is that you're trying to do stuff that actually builds your career as a writer, moves you forward as a writer, and you've got to be willing when you're finding that it's not working to go ahead and cut that dead weight out and to move on.
Yes, very much so. And that's... that's something that I have, because I have a couple of people that are in my crew. One guy is helping me do the audiobooks. He has a recording studio, and so we get in and do some stuff. And he sometimes comes to me and he'll go, "So I've got this thing." And I said, "Okay, how is that going to get you further?" And he goes, "Well, it'll give me some money." I said, "Yeah, but how much time is it going to take away from the stuff that's actually going to get you out on your own doing your own thing?" And that's the biggest thing is knowing, understanding that just doing something for the paycheck isn't necessarily going to actually further your long-term career. And, you know, money can be sexy, but, you know, time that you have to put into something is, in some ways, for us who are creatives doing our own thing and trying to get our own name and our own brand, even though I despise that term, is doing this really in the best interest of my career right now?
Yeah, excellent. We are just about out of time for the show today. Todd, where can people find your work?
Amazon. I'm doing an experiment right now where most of my stuff is in KDP Select, so it's exclusive to Amazon because I'm trying out the tools that they have that none of the other publishing or none of the other ebook retailers have. Always can go to my website, www.mtoddgalloglass.com. One S on the end of Gallo Glass. A bunch of people want to keep putting the secondary S on there. Just look for me, Mtodd Gallo Glass, on Facebook, on Twitter, Google+. I hang out on the fantasy subreddit all the time. Banter with the fantasy fans there. It's a great community. I just want to give a shout out to now. Reddit is usually a cesspool of scum and villainy, but if you go to reddit.com/r/fantasy, or just do a search, it is an awesome community of 80,000 plus fantasy fans, They're very, very friendly to new writers as long as you're not just there to pimp out your stuff. Uh-huh. If you're there to be part of the community, I have sold a bunch of books there just because I'm chatting and then people see that, oh, you're an author. What have you written? And I go, oh, I've written these things. And then every time I do that, there's a little spike in my book sales. But also, it's just really cool to nerd out fantasy with people.
Oh, yeah.
I love that community so much.
That's a lot of fun. So, Peter, do you have anything to add before we wrap up?
No, I did have one question, because at what stage in the process, just quickly, do you seek out a beta reader? You know, do you do it sort of just before sending it to an editor, or do you do it when you've got back and it's the very last stage? Like, what works for you in that area?
I'm sorry, say that again?
When you're sort of going to hand something to someone to read, so a beta reader, do you do that before the edit or after the edit?
Oh, first thing, I get done. I will have a little thing of notes that says, oh, you have to go fix this all in the beginning so that it agrees with the ending. I go and do that. Once I'm done with those little fixes, I resist the urge to go back and read my manuscript. I send it to my beta readers immediately because, as I said earlier, I have a tendency to hurt as much as I fix in that. And then they send it back to me. And then I go through it, and I go through all of it, and I make the changes, and then I send it to my editor. And then my awesome. Editor sends it back to me. I do those things. We fine-tune the last few things, and then I'm ready to publish. That's right. My process.
Yeah, people's process is really fascinates me, sort of like how everyone does everything differently. So I just wanted to squeeze that out of you before we went.
You guys want to talk about process? Oh, we can like about process.
Do a whole nother show. Well, Todd, we sure appreciate you being on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Good. Excellent. So, well, if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review on iTunes, a like on YouTube, or a plus on Google. And if you're an editor who would like to be a guest on the show, drop us a line at thebookeditorshow.com. I'm Clark Chamberlain, and for my co-host, Peter Turley, keep writing, keep learning, and build a better book.
Thank you for listening, and come back next week for more. Please visit thebookeditorshow.com for show notes, links to guests, books and extras, and for information on how to be a guest on the show.